we were reading in Sunday school in Psalms 87 about the Lord's holy mountain, and one of the last two verses of Psalms 87 says, "The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, as well as the singers and the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee." In the Old Testament, he was saying, all of my best things are in Zion. And I believe in the New Testament, all of his best things are in the house of God. The singers. Not just, I haven't put singers in there. I haven't put players in there. I put the singers there and the players on instruments there. I was thinking about that yesterday at the Bible conference, as how blessed I was by the music. And I thought, the singers are there, the players. They may not be recognized by the world, but they're recognized by God as the singers. They're his, and they're the ones that God has sanctioned, and it's such a blessing. If music like that doesn't bless you, if you get tired of hearing that song, there's something wrong. You've allowed the world and Satan to cool down your heart to a terrible, terrible place. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalms chapter 40. We do appreciate your prayers and support for the work in Cadillac, for your continuing with us, continuing to help us in our early stages of growth. And we are in hard economic times in our state, and Brother Ryan has been without employment for quite a while, and Brother Thomas only has part-time employment, and I've been trying to work them both when I can, and I came to the conclusion last year that I needed to be more in control of my schedule, and I needed to quit my job and try to work for myself, and that's the Lord's been blessing that. I just appreciate your prayers in that. I don't have a lot of knowledge or a lot of experience, but we're leaning on the Lord and looking to him. In Psalms chapter 40, in verse 1, it says, "I waited." We'll read the rest of the verse in a moment, but there's a lot there just in that phrase. I waited. I waited. I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited. All of the promises of God that I find have waiting attached to them. We are not born with all the promises of God applied to us. We are not born with all that the world has and all that heaven has in our hands. We don't have it all. We don't have all the deliverance. We don't have all the things. And so if we don't have it, then there means that there must be waiting. We see that the Lord healed many in the New Testament, but many of them lived their whole lives waiting for that healing. Waiting. I waited patiently for the Lord. We'll read in the Bible that some died even without receiving anything in this earth. I waited. I waited. We think about that. You'll never find a passage in Scripture. You'll never find a testimony. I waited, and he let me down. You'll never find it. God will never call a preacher to preach the message. I waited, and he failed me. He'll never ask a Sunday school teacher to teach your children. I waited. I was going through a trial. I was going through a difficulty. I waited, and he let me down. You'll never have to teach that. You'll never have to worry about teaching that. You'll never have to worry about sitting down with your children and saying, "Son, I waited on the Lord once upon a time and it didn't work." You may have to tell him, "I waited and I waited and I lost patience and I ran in and made a mess of things." You may have to tell him that. You may have to look back, and I can look back in my life, and some of the worst messes I've made were not waiting. Wait. I'm not a good waiter. That's why I can't paint cars. It's in my blood, but I can't do it. Dad's good at it. I'm terrible at it. Can't wait. Go out there and touch it, you know. I think I can spray the clear on it now, you know. Or I think I sanded it enough. That sanded it enough. That's enough sanding. Man, we've been sanding for days. Let's paint this thing. Oh, man, that looks awful. I can't wait. I'm not a good waiter. I waited for the Lord. Oh, I can say, and I believe most all of you can say, that you've waited, and he's followed through. I've waited many times in the ministry to where I thought I was going to meet complete financial destruction, and he always comes through. I know I'll never have to preach the message. I waited, and he let me down. The psalmist said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me." That word inclined there, it has to do with changing your direction. And he directed his way to me. I waited, and he inclined unto me. Jehovah, eternal God, heard me, inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Where was he waiting? He was waiting in a horrible pit. You know, while you are waiting, child of God, it doesn't look so good. It doesn't look good. It looks pretty bad. I don't know where you may be. You know, the one that we might readily come to our minds in Michigan right now is the financial circumstances that we're in. Waiting on the Lord to provide. Waiting on the Lord to work out a spiritual circumstance. Or waiting on the Lord for whatever it may be, wherever you may be and whatever the need of the hour might be. Wait on the Lord. Oh, I know that it may not look so good right now while you're waiting. It's a horrible pit. The world mocks you. The world looks at you and says, "What are you doing down there in that hole, little Christian? What are you doing, little church? What are you doing, little Christian? Can't you see you're in a pit? Can't you see you're stuck in the mud?" And they mock and they look on. It doesn't look so good. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't look like it's going to work out. The psalmist said, "He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay." In Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse number 11, Solomon writing says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all." You can't predict tomorrow. The race is not to the swift, the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. You don't know God's plan, but I encourage you to wait to trust in him. So you can't trust. There's no trust without waiting. You cannot show faith without waiting. Because if he gave you everything instantly, that's not faith. You would not have to trust for anything. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Many times I haven't waited. Remember old Abraham? He was something like 86 years old when the Lord came to him and said, you're going to have a son. He lost patience. He had a son through his wife's handmaid named Ishmael, and we know all the problems that have come through the seed of Ishmael. Our whole world is in trouble today through the seed of Ishmael. He should have waited. We can look back in our lives, and I'm sure, and see some Ishmaels in our life, some times that we just couldn't wait any longer. But I would encourage you to wait. Oh, you've waited so long, many of you. It could just be tomorrow. How can you not continue to wait, knowing the faithfulness of God? How can you not? How can you give up on him? Isaiah chapter 40, there's so many passages of Scripture that speak of waiting. Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. He called on his prophet to bring some comfort to God's people. I love chapter 40, 41, 42, they're all comfort to God's people, the ones that are hanging on. He says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. There's a time to preach and to preach and speak comfortably. Now, there's a time to beat up sinners, and there's a time to speak comfortably to those that are waiting. I speak to those that are waiting. Speak comfortably unto her, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. But you may think, yeah, but I'm still here in this pit. It doesn't look so good. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight a desert in the highway for our God. He's coming. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof, as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into a high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up the voice with strength. Lift up and be not afraid. And say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. There's so many encouraging things in this passage. We won't read them all, but skip down to verse 26. Lift your eyes on high. There are dark, depressing days. Lift your eyes on high. And behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their hosts by number, that calleth all by names by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? He's forgotten about me. He's abandoned me. The psalmist said, many there be that say of my soul, there's no help of him in God. God's not going to help you. Forget about it. Remember when David met Goliath? Goliath came with great discouraging words. I like the words that David came back with. In so many words, he said, I'm going to rip your head off and feed you to the birds. He wasn't about to be discouraged. Verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the eternal God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. In other words, you're not going to figure out his plan. You're not going to understand it. He giveth power to the faint. Are you faint? You qualify for God's power. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. There's coming a day that the best of the best will fall. And you'll still be standing because you're waiting for the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Trusting in him. When the strongest fall, you'll still stand. The Lord has blessed me so much. I'm a simple man. I don't have a lot of means. Had a good engineering co-op job in Detroit and felt the Lord leading me to leave that. I left that. 6-8 months later, my roommate was convicted in a child molestation case. The Lord preserved me from that. The company that I worked for packed up and went to Mexico and closed all of its operations where I was. From there, I went and I got another job, still not sure of the Lord's will, and I worked there, and that was getting successful, and it looked like I was going somewhere, and things were going great, and we were in the heyday, so to speak. I called up the owner of that company the other day and was talking to him. He said, Mark, I went belly up in 04. Spent all my retirement, everything I had, trying to keep the doors open. I couldn't believe it. After I worked at that company, I went to another place, and they offered me a good salary position, and found out by listening to the news that they'd filed Chapter 11. I worked at another place, had a good thing that I thought going there, and I left, and after a while I'd been gone, I was working at another place, one of the managers called me up and asked me for a job, and I said, what do you mean, what's going on? And they said, well, they've cut our bonuses, they took us off salary and put us hourly, they cut our hours, they put us, and all of these that I know, their lives have been decreasing, and all the while the Lord has watched over me and preserved me and kept me. You'll never have to say, I waited on the Lord, and he let me down. Oh, you might suffer loss, but that doesn't mean he'll let you down. Finishing up there in Isaiah chapter 40, even the youth shall faint, in verse 30, and be weary. How is it that the mighty are fallen? We live in a day that the mighty are fallen, don't we? Who would have thought? You know, when we drive around, and I was doing some advertising, pounding the streets, drumming up some work, and there was one particular business that I really respected, and I thought, I want to get networked with this person, just for their mind. And I went to the door, and I pulled on it, and it was locked, and I looked at the door. And it said, we've closed. We've closed shop. We're all done. One of the businesses I respected the most in my community, as far as small businesses goes. And closed up. The mighty are fallen. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll come back. But there's that waiting. And it doesn't look so good while you're waiting. In fact, it looks worse than everybody else. It looks like you're in a pit. It looks worse than everyone else while you're waiting. But you know, when you're in a pit, there's only one way to go. And that's up. There's only one direction. That's up. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Think in your mind how many mighty have come and gone. Come and gone. It was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it's gone. Come and gone. One of the saddest stories, I love reading the story of Billy Durant. Instrumental in founding General Motors and Chevrolet and Frigidaire or one of those refrigeration companies, I can't remember which one. And that guy would come to the top of the world and fall to the bottom. Come to the top, fall to the bottom. There was a time that you could go down in Detroit and have Billy Durant serve you a hamburger. He was flipping burgers. And people would come and wonder how that this man was in that place. They wondered. They could not see. How could it be? And yet we're still shocked by these things that go on in the world today. Solomon wrote about it forever ago. Thousands of years ago he wrote about this same phenomenon. And we're still surprised about it. Oh, we're not in any way encouraging you to not pursue prosperity. But wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. Don't make any hasty decisions. Don't compromise like Abraham. It's still, when Abraham had Ishmael, it still was kind of working out the same thing. It was just with Abraham's own little twist on it. Don't lose patience. Wait on the Lord. You know, the Lord was still faithful and still sent Isaac according to His word. That didn't take away the fact that they had to deal with Ishmael in that whole situation. Wait. I waited, David said. I waited. You know what's interesting about that? Saul didn't wait. Saul lost the kingdom because he didn't wait. He was waiting for Samuel to come and offer sacrifices, and the people were getting restless. They were losing the war, and he just ran in and did the priest job and sacrificed. He said, I couldn't wait any longer. I waited and waited and I couldn't wait any longer. And he ran in and did it. And he lost the kingdom because of not waiting. And yet David was just a little shepherd boy. It didn't look so good down there in the pit. This little shepherd boy just watching a few sheep in the wilderness. It didn't look so good. But he waited. He waited on the Lord. He went through some bad circumstances. Chased out of the country by Saul. Didn't look so good. It doesn't look good in the pit. The world may mock. Other brothers and sisters in Christ may mock. It doesn't look good down in the pit. It doesn't look good being the little guy. But he waited. He waited on the Lord. And the Lord blessed. He wrote many psalms about waiting. Psalm 37. In verse 34, Psalm 37 and verse 34, wait on the Lord. We read his testimony in Psalms 40 where he said, I waited and the Lord lifted me up. And he's encouraging others in this psalm, wait on the Lord and keep his way. You see, when you stop waiting on the Lord, you begin to compromise. Because waiting on the Lord is walking in his will. And to get out of his will is to compromise. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. It's not going to be by your well-devised scheme, as we read in Solomon, or that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, that you're going to get somewhere, because time and chance happen to them all. I'm always amazed as I drive around and see what I thought were good, respectable businesses that are gone. It just amazes me. Or I go and I look for someone that I find destruction has found them. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Have you not seen it? I've seen the wicked in great power spreading himself like a green bay tree. Haven't you seen that? That's what Psalm 73 is all written all about. It's a psalm of Asaph, I believe, and he was one of those singers in the house of God. He devoted his whole life to just being in the house of God and singing. But he came to a day that he got utterly discouraged. He looked around and he said, you know, there's people outside of Zion that are doing better than I am. And I'm in here every day praising the Lord. He got a little discouraged. He looked out there and he saw the wicked spreading himself like a green bay tree. Everything was good. Everything was great. You might look at other businesses or other jobs or other marriages or whatever it may be. Other churches, whatever it may be. Whatever it is in your life, I just use economics because it's close to me and it's close to most of us in Michigan. But there are other things that we need to wait on the Lord for. Young people, you need to wait for the Lord to bring you a spouse. You need to wait on the Lord for a lot of things as a young person. But there's never been a one that said, I waited and it was bad. I'm so thankful for all that the Lord has given to me. There's so much life in my home. It's a wonderful place to be. He said, I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed by, and lo, he was not. I sought him, and he could not be found. Where'd that place go? You know that place? They were really successful. Where are they? You know, Sam Walton said, the thing I fear the most is Kmart. Well, we know what happened to Kmart, don't we? That was his greatest fear. He was in there all the time, undercover, checking prices, looking at things. He feared them. He knew they had a great business model because he worked for them, and he knew their business model, and he was scared of it. Where are they? There's so many things come and gone. So many giants that have walked the earth, gone. Verse 37, mark the perfect man. You know, set a mark on him and then come back and check him. You know, like you mark the water level to see where the water level is in the lake or something. Set a mark on there and come back and check in a few years and see how he's doing. Oh, there's some in the house of God that maybe they're not extremely successful by the standard of the world, but you mark them. They're still here. I mean, they're still there. They're still plugging away. They're still steady and strong. Mark him. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of that man is peace. Again, there's waiting there. There may be some valleys, but the end of that man is peace. There may be some difficult days, but the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall, that word shall there, again we see that there is waiting. Right now it may not look so good. The world cries out, what you doing down there, little Christian? Little church, what in the world do you think you're doing? You're not making any impact. You're useless. We're much bigger. You know, the Rick Warrens of the world look down and say, what are you doing over there, little church, little flock? What do you think you are? Putting on wedding garments. But she knows that she's the bride. She knows that she'll be married one day. The little believer down there in the hole, down there in the mud, what you putting on that bow tie for? I'm going to stand with the king. He knows. I'm going to stand with the king. The Lord shall help them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. Because they are looking to him. Are you looking to him? Are you waiting upon him? It's not because in the book of Ecclesiastes they were wiser, stronger, mightier than any other people. I have always taken the liking to the story of David, only a boy named David. I can remember sitting here, and well, back then we sat up over here. Only a boy named David. I latched onto him from that age. I was very introverted, still am. I had friends, have a friend I grew up with that he was straight A's. He was first chair in his band group. He was the fastest runner. He was the best looking. I mean, he was everything. And I always considered myself an underdog. I was teasing Brother Hugin last night. He messed up on the piano when the quartet was singing, and I said, I'm glad you finally screwed something up, Brother Hugin. You're just so perfect. So much talent flows out of you, it just makes me sick. But I've always latched on to the Davids. All you have to do is trust in him. Wait. You can't trust without waiting. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope. Brother Dean Smith quoted that verse all the time. I can still hear and see him standing there saying, looking for that blessed hope, the appearing of our Lord in glory. Looking for that. There were those I mentioned in the Old Testament that died without receiving any promises. They were waiting for that one. It says some might have had opportunity to return to success in this world. It says others might have received deliverance, but they refused it, looking for a better resurrection. They were holding out. They were holding out longer than they had to. They were holding out for all of God's blessings. They were waiting for the Lord. Moses said he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses knew something that many people didn't know. It's not very long to wait. It's not very long. Life flies so fast, especially when you have four kids. It just clicks right by. It's like, where'd it go? It's 11 o'clock and I haven't eaten yet. You know, it just flies by. Moses knew that the pleasures of sin were just for a season. We look around the world and we look at snapshots in time. And we see people that are above us. And we wonder, why aren't I there? But you don't realize they're not on their way up. They're on their way down. They're coming back down. You may be in a pit, but you're on a steady climb. The Bible says it shineth brighter until that perfect day. Oh, there may be some bumps along the way. That's part of waiting. But it gets better and better and better. It's more blessed every day. How can you give up on the Lord? It could be today that you find the deliverance you've been waiting for. It could be this hour that you find what you need. Don't give up. Don't stop waiting. Don't be impatient. I'm the kind of person, I'll just do things just for the sake of doing something. I got to make something happen. I've always been that kind of person. Let's make something happen, you know. Let's fix it. Let's do something. But that can get you in trouble. Don't run ahead of the Lord. Wait for him. Wait for his direction and his leadership. He'll never call you to preach the message that God failed. You might give up too early, but he'll never call a preacher to preach that message, a Sunday school teacher or a father or mother to leave that behind. It's not anywhere in here. It's not in this book. It's not anywhere. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Never seen it. It gets close sometimes. In fact, with Lazarus, it seemed like he was 4 days late. Even 4 days beyond the time that you think. He's still not late. You can still trust in Him. You can still look to Him. Wait on the Lord. Brother Larry.